Please be seated. This morning, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 7, looking at verses 13 and 14. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to Matthew 7. There are also pew Bibles available. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God will stand forever. I'm reading from the ESV translation, Matthew chapter 7. We'll read verses 13 and 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the teachings of our Lord. And we ask that you would turn our attention and our interest to eternal things, weighty things, important things, as we consider these verses. Lord, be at work in our hearts by your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You'll notice quickly, if you read much about Jesus and his life in the scriptures, that throughout his ministry, Jesus very frequently would present to his hearers choices, antithetical choices, choices that are mutually exclusive, either this or this. You've seen this, we've seen this throughout the Sermon on the Mount, this example. So much of the Sermon on the Mount is contrasting one way of righteousness, a Pharisaic righteousness, an external righteousness, a worldly righteousness, with true Christian righteousness. That compare and contrast has been a running theme through the sermon. You have two kinds of righteousness. You have two kinds of treasures. You have two kinds of masters. You have two kinds of worship. You have two kinds of this or that, and the Lord calls again and again to make a choice, to make a distinction as to how you're going to live, what you're going to do, what you're going to believe. And we come now to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, or coming to the end of the sermon, and beginning in verse 13 to the end of the chapter, Jesus begins his conclusion. And you'll notice in the weeks ahead, Lord willing, beginning with our verses this morning, that in the conclusion of his sermon, he emphasizes more than ever the necessity of choice. And he does so with this string of illustrations, saying this or this. There is an inescapable choice in life between two options. Our passage this morning, he says it's between two gates or two roads. He'll go on to say there are two types of prophets, either true or false. There's two types of pleas that you're going to make before Jesus on Judgment Day. You're either going to plead words or you're going to plead works. There's two types of foundations, rock or sand. And so he'll go through with these metaphors, these very graphic illustrations, and say it's either this or this. And in doing so, in using this kind of language, what Jesus is doing here is drawing from a very long and deep and rich tradition that we find going back to the earliest pages of the Old Testament. This is a biblical way of thinking, choosing between two distinct options. Early in the Old Testament, God began to tell his people, there are two ways to live in this very brief life. And there are only two ways to live in this very brief life. Either in covenant with him, where you'll be blessed, or follow the world and you'll be cursed. That's really what it boils down to. If you'll turn back to Deuteronomy, let me just show you a couple examples of this kind of Old Testament language that Jesus is drawing upon and that his followers would have been very familiar with. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Moses presented the choice this way. Deuteronomy 11, 26. He says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known." Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just one more example from Moses. Deuteronomy 30. Chapter 30, verse 15. He presents a choice this way. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." Life and good. Death and evil. Those are the two ways that God sets before his people. You'll remember in Joshua, the very next book, turn to Joshua. Chapter 24, another well-known example of this kind of Old Testament biblical imagery. In Deuteronomy chapter, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, you remember at the end of a long and faithful life of serving God, Joshua had led the people into the promised land. Beginning 24:14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." It's either this God or it's the other gods. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose." There's that inescapable choice between two options. "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's either or. You see this in the Psalms. Let me just show you one more example in Psalm chapter 1. You find this all throughout the Old Testament, but at the very beginning of the book of Psalms, the Old Testament book of worship, David opens the book of Psalms by saying, you must choose. You must choose a path for your life. You must choose an authority for your life. And he says in chapter 1, verse 1 of the Psalms, "Blessed is the man who does not, who walks in the counsel of the wicked." I'm sorry. "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And then down in verse 6, he says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So you have several choices here, but they all boil down to two in each example. You have the counsel of the wicked, or you have the counsel of God. And he's saying, which one are you going to follow? One is the way of righteousness, one is the way of death. Which one are you going to follow? And if you do choose the counsel of God, verse 2, if your delight is going to be there, are you actually going to be serious enough to meditate on it? He says, on his law, he meditates day and night. It's not enough just to say, I choose. It's not enough to say, I'm going to follow the wisdom of the Lord. But are you going to spend your days and your nights mulling it over in your mind, thinking about it, turning it over? and seeing how it applies to the everyday issues of life. Are you going to take the path of the sinners and scoffers, or are you going to take the path of the righteous who follow after God? These are different ways of phrasing the same basic inescapable choice that the Bible presents in practically every book and on virtually every page: the way of life or the way of death. And this is the type of language and imagery, the theme that Jesus is picking up on in our passage here in chapter 7 of Matthew, when he says, you have choices between gates, between roads. And I think what's so striking about this example and the ones to come at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is just how absolute they are. It's just absolute the way Jesus presents this. There are only two options. There are only two. I think all of us, if we were pressed, would say, I would prefer to have more than two options. Give me a lot of options. Many different choices. Or even better yet, and I think in our culture today, the mindset is a step beyond that. Give me many, many options and choices, but tell me that they're all equal. So I can choose what I want to choose, but it really doesn't matter in the end which one I choose. And Jesus just takes that option away over and over again. He just will not allow that. He insists that ultimately there are only two possibilities to choose from. And so throughout the closing of this sermon, he is pressing his hearers, which included those present at the Sermon on the Mount and those present here this morning, he's pressing you to make up your mind, to make a choice. There are certain issues that must be settled in this life without negotiation and without compromise. And Jesus is calling you to choose life or death. A choice must be made. Let's just break this down. There's lots of twos here. He talks about two ways in verses 13 and 14. And he says, one way is easy. The gate is wide and the way is easy. That means broad. It's spacious. It's roomy. The way is roomy. There's plenty of room for diversity. Diversity of opinions. There's plenty of room for laxity. Laxity in morals. It's a road of tolerance. It's the road of permissiveness. This is the road that has no curbs. It's wide and roomy. Has no signs. It has no red lights. You just go and you do as you please. There are no boundaries of thought. There are no boundaries of conduct. The people on the easy road, the broad road, the spacious road, follow their own inclinations. They follow their own desires. They do what feels right. And therefore, it's marked by superficiality and hypocrisy and selfishness and worldliness and false ambitions and all the things that come naturally to the fallen heart of men. These are things that don't have to be learned, things that don't have to be cultivated. You just do what feels right. No effort is required. It's the easy road. But he says there's also a hard road. There's a hard way. The way is hard, he says, that leads to life. It's narrow. It's not so broad and spacious and roomy. It has clearly defined curbs, well-marked signs. It has red lights. It has boundaries. It does give limitations on what one can believe or what one can do or how one should behave. It gives objective definitions to what is true and to what is good and to what is beautiful. It imposes standards. It imposes limitations. So in a very real sense, it's hard. It's hard because this does not come natural to us. It's not the broad, easy, spacious road of do whatever you feel. But there are limitations. And Christ describes this as the hard way. It's interesting, though, because later, as you know, he'll describe the hard way, the narrow way, as his easy yoke and as his light burden. So you have this paradox that the hard way, the narrow way, actually turns out in the long run to be the easy way, to be the good way, to be the right way, to be the light burden way. In the end, it's the more blessed way. So Christ says, don't take the easy way. Take the hard way. Secondly, Christ says here, there are two gates. Two gates. And it's not surprising that the gate leading to the easy way, he says, is the wide gate. It's the wide gate. The easy road is easy to get on. The entrance is wide. That's the come as you are gate. Bring all your baggage gate. You don't have to leave anything behind gate. Bring your sins. Bring your self-righteousness. Bring your pride. Bring your works. Bring everything you want to plead, everything you want to indulge. People go through the wide gate and they get on the easy road. And that's the easy thing to do. And do it for different reasons. Some people, as you know, just deliberately reject Christ and say, I don't believe in the truth that Christ presents. I don't want to have anything to do with the ethics that Christ commands, and I reject it, and I'm going on the easy road. But I think a lot of people just drift along with the crowd. The gate's wide, the road's spacious. Most people seem to be flowing that way. There's safety in numbers, so I'll just drift along with the crowd through the wide gate and onto the easy road. I think a lot of people are just apathetic to spiritual matters like this. They don't think about what road they're on. I think a lot of people on the wide road who are going through the wide gate are some of the most entertained people in this life. You can entertain yourself into oblivion in our society and our culture and never even have to think about choices of eternal consequence. Which gate I'll choose, which road I'll choose. But nevertheless, it's easy to get onto the spacious road. And what Jesus is saying here is that in this life, the temptation is going to be to look at that wide gate, to look at that spacious road, and come to the conclusion that that's the best choice. It will appear in this life that the wide gate and the spacious, roomy road is the best choice. And Christ is saying, watch out, because appearances are deceiving. That's not the best choice. The easy road is not the road to take. The wide gate is not the gate to enter. He says in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. It's a gate that's hard to find. It's a gate that's easy to miss. It's a gate that doesn't attract a whole lot of attention. fact, later Christ will say that this gate is the size of a head of a needle, the eye of a needle. It's narrow. If you're going to enter it, you do have to leave everything behind. Your self-righteousness, it won't fit. Your pride, it won't fit. Your works, they won't go through the gate. Your selfish ambitions, it's a hard gate. It's narrow. It requires confession of sin. It's a gate that requires self-denial. It's a gate that requires checking your self-righteousness before you enter. All the things that do not come natural to us. So how do you find it? Well, Jesus says he's it. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is the gate. We enter through him. We enter by him. He's the narrow gate. So you have two roads. You have two gates. Jesus says here there are two destinations. The two destinations. We saw this in Psalm 1 when David said, there are those who prosper and there are those who perish. Or when Moses says there's life and there's death, or there's blessing and there's cursing. These roads go somewhere, and it has eternal consequences. Jesus says that the easy way, verse 13, this access by the wide gate is the road that leads to destruction. Destruction. It's a road that leads to hell. It's a road that leads to hell, and that's not something to joke about. Jesus says that is the suicide road. That's the road that you will find ultimately everything that's good, everything that's beautiful, everything that's true, everything that's lovely, everything that's joyful, all your peace, all your hope, it will be destroyed. That's a terrible word, destruction. It's the road that leads to destruction. But there's another destination. He says those that are on the hard way, who enter through the narrow gate, they're on the pathway to life, eternal life. Eternal life, communion with the Father, forgiveness of sins, joy, peace, hope, the glory. And surely the saddest contrast in this passage. You have two roads, you have two gates, you have two destinations, but the saddest contrast here are the two crowds. Because Jesus says that entering the wide gate and traveling down the easy road to destruction are many. End of verse 13. And entering on the narrow gate and treading down the hard road that leads to life, he says at the end of verse 14, are few. So you have this picture of this wide, spacious road, this roomy and this nice wide gate, and traveling down the easy road, traveling down the wide gate are multitudes. And they're laughing and they're carefree. And they think this is easy and this is the wise way to go. And they have no thought for the destruction for which they are heading. And then Jesus says, on this narrow road, through this narrow gate, you'll find a small band of travelers, relatively a minority, often persecuted, often mocked, often laughed at. Looks like they're making the foolish choice, but they've turned their backs to sin, and they've turned their eyes toward the heavenly city, and they're singing songs of triumph as they follow King Jesus to eternal life. And in the end, it will become apparent that they have chosen life. And according to Jesus, there is no third option. There are two ways, there are two gates, there are two groups of people, and there are two final destinies. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If you're a Christian believer, this passage calls you to examine your life. Examine your road. Examine your gate. And if you're not a believer, this is an earnest call to choose the narrow gate and enter into Christ's kingdom of eternal life today. And I pray that God would give us the grace to do that. Let's pray. Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find life. And we ask humbly that you would enable us to choose life this day. And we pray this in the name of our precious Savior. Amen.